I challenge you all to know that your salvation was real. You didn't have a counterfeit salvation. You had a real salvation. We talked about being prepared for many things in life, but this had better be the one thing that you're most prepared for, to meet God, to die. Every single person under the sound of my voice, whether if Christ doesn't come, we are going to die, and we need to be prepared. We learned that there are many people who, according to the words of Christ, most definitely will be going to hell. They'll spend an eternity in hell. Hell is a very real place, and we learned that hell will be full of people who were good people, who would just not take the first step and believe in Christ and know that and wouldn't faithfully accept Christ and kept putting it off one day after another day after another day. We learned that we can know what we have is real by examining our fruit. Church, this morning, I want to ask you another question. What's next after salvation? This is a viable question, and I hear it. I hear it all too often. Tony, I'm sure you hear it in the college ministry too often. What do I do next? After I accept Christ as my personal Savior, what do I do? Well, listen to me. First, get into the Word of God, because when you get in the Word of God, God will tell you what to do. Amen? If you're not in the Word of God, it is not surprising to me that you're not doing anything. It really isn't. Because the Word of God speaks to me every time I get into His Word. And all too often, I'm sitting in my office church, and I'll ask God, why have you not sent somebody to do this for me? And God whispers back to me, why don't you do it yourself? Has that ever happened to you? Let's read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. The title of this message is, what do you do after accepting Christ? Verse 18. He, being Jesus, was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, please underline that in your Bible, or if you have a phone or an iPad, push, hold, swipe, and let that glow just, you know, stand there on your computer. He said, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, as I've prayed all week, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here. Lord, I pray that you would just open eyes, ears, and hearts. Lord, help us to hear from you this morning, to know that you're with us. God, I pray that you'd be with this message as I preach the words that you put on my heart this morning. I pray that I might not be seen, but you'd be seen and heard. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. This morning, I want you to understand something. I really want you to understand something. As your pastor, I want to make sure that my hands are clean of your blood. I want to make sure that I, as your pastor, the pastor of this church, have stood in this pulpit and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that when you stand before the Lord, you cannot say in any way, shape, form, or fashion, Lord, I did not know that I had to accept you as my personal Savior. I did not know that you were the only way to have eternal life. Church, I also want what is best for each and every one of you spiritually in this church. Every person in this congregation, listen, your pastor wants what is best for you. I want you to thrive. I want you to grow. I want you to prosper. I want each of you to store up treasures in heaven. That's my desire. That's a pretty good desire, isn't it? Now, I said that. Now, listen to what I'm saying next. For too long, the church, not necessarily this church, but the church, has been a safe haven for complacent bodies who were eager to complain, more eager to complain than to contribute. Now, I want to say that again so everybody hears it. For too long, the church has been a safe haven for complacent bodies who are they're more eager to complain than they are to contribute. The church of today is in the shape that it's in because pastors are scared to boldly proclaim the truth of God's word, and the congregation is too lazy to follow the truths of God's word. That was weak. But it's the truth. You've got a bunch of lacy drawer preachers that are scared to death of their congregations to get up here. They'll fire me if I say this. Listen, this isn't a job for me. This is a ministry. There's been times when I've had nothing in my bank account, Miss Edie, and God has said, move. And I'm saying, Lord, what? Move. I've got 3 kids, God, move. And He's taking care of me. Now, I don't want to get fired, but listen, if I get fired, God's going to fire me. It's not going to be you. I'm tired of lacy drawer preachers standing in the pulpit, giving a feel-good 10-minute sermon, scooting you out on the door, patting you on the head, singing Kumbaya, and you've got nothing with it. But church, I'm also tired of lazy, complacent Christians who know better. I'm tired of it. Listen, this morning, I'm going to tell you the truth as to what every person who calls themselves Christians should be doing next after salvation. Salvation's got to take place first. You hear me? If salvation doesn't take place first, you're spinning your wheels. You're doing things on your own power, and you're not going to get far. You have to have the power of Christ in your life to do anything that He's telling you to do next. Amen? So there's steps to follow after salvation, and we just saw them, Mark. We really did. And I want to tell you, it's easy. Jesus didn't make it hard for us to understand. Jesus told us the truth, His truth, as to steps to follow. Now, if we don't follow Him, we choose not to follow Him. We really do, because He's made it so easy. Now, the first step I want each of you to see is those who Jesus called were not spiritually elite. Did y'all see that here in verse 18? He says, He was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw 2 brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Brother Frank, He didn't call the spiritually elite. We would think that He would. As a matter of fact, if we were getting a group of people up and Jesus were to come back, and we know when He's coming back, He's coming to get us. He ain't going to have another 12 apostles. Amen? But if He were to come back and we were the ones who were going to assign Jesus His 12 apostles, we wouldn't have picked these guys. We wouldn't have. We really wouldn't have. They were not the spiritually elite. These men were not top of the class. These men did not have a BA in Old Testament studies. They did not have a seminary degree. They were common fishermen by trade. They were common, everyday people. There was nothing special about us. Now, I hope that those who are looking down, that I'm seeing looking down, you're looking at your Bible and not your cell phones. They were common men. Now, listen. Church, Jesus does not necessarily call the qualified. You do understand that, right? But as we look at this scripture and we understand this scripture, He does qualify the called. Every single time. He doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but He qualifies every single time. He qualifies the called. Listen, church, this is what this means. Jesus knows exactly where you are and who you are. He knows exactly what you can do and what He wants you to do. Jesus is never going to call you to do something that He is not willing and going to qualify you to do. Never. Brother Kyle, I'm scared. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. I don't think I can do the job. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You can't. You can on your own. Have y'all ever tried to do something? I'll never forget it all my life. Bob, when we lived in our house in Rock Hill, South Carolina, we had this old linoleum floor, and it was on concrete. And over the years, the kids had been in there. It's always the kids' fault. The kids had been in there on that floor, and they had made holes in the linoleum. Really? And I had been watching Bob Vila. Y'all remember Bob Vila, this old house? And Bob Vila he was taking up some linoleum, and he was putting down that old, the particle plywood, hardwood floor. And I thought to myself, Amy's out on, she's going on this women's retreat. I'm going to surprise her. So you know what I did? I pulled the refrigerator out, and I pulled the oven out, and I got one of those flat scraper bars, and I peeled every bit. I wasn't a preacher then. I didn't cuss, but I was cabinet cussing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got all that stuff up. I got all the glue off, and I started, you know, I knew how to do it because I'd watched Bob Vila. Went and bought the glue, and the boy, it was on sale. When it's on sale, ladies, that's a good thing, right? I had all the materials laid out, put the glue down, and started laying that board. And the first 7 or 8 pieces, man, it looked good. I was like, man, this is easy. I know what I'm doing. The next 7 or 8 pieces look good. Then I look back at the first 7 or 8 pieces, and the glue wasn't holding. It was bowing and buckling. And your preacher said, uh-oh. So I stepped on it again, and long story short, I'd bought the wrong glue. I had bought the wrong glue. Now, you know, we Baptists, we cast the blame. All I did, I bought the glue that the man at the Home Depot, it's like Home Depot. That's why I quit shopping at Home Depot, Miss Edie, because that man gave me the wrong glue. I thought I knew what I was doing. I wasn't afraid to take the 2 steps to get started. Hey, listen, what I was afraid of was when Amy came home. Because eventually Amy did come home. And it looked more like a skateboard park than a kitchen floor. But church, listen. I didn't have the ability to do that. I thought I did. Fact of the matter is, God didn't tell me to do it. I wanted to do it. Had God told me to do it, it'd been still there today. Because God never lets you down when He tells you to do something, church. He never lets you down. Preacher, why are you saying all this? I want you to understand that these fishermen had to feel out of place when Jesus first called them. Don't you think? Look, you know, I'm not sure who you are. You want us to follow you. I have a pretty good indication of who you are, but I'm a fisherman. And the things you're asking me to do and the things you're asking me to say and how you're wanting me to follow you, I imagine they did feel out of place when Jesus first called them. But have you seen that He qualified them as well? After a period of time, each common fisherman were now qualified fishers of men. Listen, do you think Jesus would do that for them, Karen, but He won't do it for us? Keith, he was just walking along the seashore. And he said, follow me. Follow me. They were willing. But Jesus said 2 words to these common men that should have, I mean, it started them on a pathway that changed their life. He said, follow me. Now understand, they were just common men, but they responded to those 2 words. Church, do you ever have, you don't have to be a rocket scientist here to understand that Jesus' first instructions here when He said, follow me. Any of y'all ever play that game? Y'all remember when we were in kindergarten, don't you? I still remember Miss Curtin. She was my kindergarten teacher. She would say, all right, class, let's all stand up. And we had, you know, the pretty rug with the squares and the alphabet. And she said, okay, Colin, you're going to be the line leader. And what we did was we played follow the leader. Follow the leader. Now, the hard part in kindergarten is all the girls wanted to be the leaders. And y'all know the old saying, boys rule, girls drool. That's exactly right, especially when you're in kindergarten. And all the girls in kindergarten, they had the cooties. And we had to have the cootie shot. You know, circle, circle, dot, dot, now you have the cootie shot. We made sure we had the cootie. The girls wanted to be the line leaders. All the time, they thought they were the smartest. Don't they? They still do, don't they? And you had to follow them, Mark. I don't want to follow her. I want to be the line leader. Hey listen, that's it's a simple illustration here, but that's what's the problem in a lot of the churches today. Everybody wants to be the leader, and nobody wants to be the follower. Hey, listen, Jesus is giving us a great illustration here. As new Christians, you know what we're to do? We're to follow Him. Him. Not the line leader. He is the line leader. Follow Him. Church, where does Jesus want me to follow Him? I get it. I see it here. But He didn't tell them where He was leading them. He just said, follow Me. And I guess they were just, you know, walking beside the, okay, I'll walk behind you. That was the first follow the leader right there in Matthew chapter 4. It really was. What does He want me to follow Him? Church, I don't know for you. But I can tell you this. It'll be different from everybody else's directions. And it will be the trip of your lifetime when you start following Him. I don't know what He wants you to do. But listen to me. Let there be no doubt, if you call yourself a Christian, He wants you to do something. He didn't call you to sit complacent. He called you to do something, to be somebody, to be a world changer. He called you to do something. As a matter of fact, we can look at the book of Acts chapter 3, I believe it is. He called you to be dangerous. Let me tell you that I, personally, me, not looking at you, let's look at me now. I was a very common, everyday church member. I was. I was mostly a good Sunday morning Christian. But one day, it struck me. Jesus said this to me. He's talking to you this morning in this scripture. He was talking to me. He said, follow Me. And when I chose to stop leading my life and started following Christ, listen, my life was transformed. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I was leading my life. I was leading my life. I've got to graduate from high school. Golly, I've got to graduate. I've got to graduate. I've got to. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And when I, Alec, y'all saw that, didn't you? Listen, when you get out of high school, I've got to go to college. I've got to go to college. I've got to graduate from college. I've got to find a job. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Listen, we're leading our life. We're leading. And when I sat there that Sunday morning, being a good Sunday morning Christian, and it finally got through my thick skull, Bob, that I needed to quit leading my life and start following Jesus, my life was transformed. Totally transformed. He picked me up and took me to the backwoods of Central Kentucky, South Central Kentucky. It's different up there, folks. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. But it's different up there. Then He picked me up and He took me to a place called Greer, South Carolina. It's an upstate. We were kind of familiar with the upstate, but it's the west part of the upstate, and it's, you know, people kind of different over there. They really are. And then He picked me up and He took me to almost the southernmost tip of South Carolina, down at the very bottom. A lot of different people over there, church. There really are. And then, Bill, He picked me up and brought me to you wonderful people in Savannah, Georgia. Now, years from now when I'm preaching this message, I'll say there's some different people over there in Savannah, Georgia. But He brought me here, Cynthia. He brought me here. Do you see? All I did was say, respond to Jesus' directive. He said, follow Me. I don't know where to go. Jesus said, follow Me. That's all I want you to do. Follow Me. And I wound up here. Church, I'm a common person. You mean to tell me, Ricky, that he wanted to do this for me, but he doesn't want to do it for anybody else? He can't do it for anybody else. No, I don't believe that. Jesus then told these common men, He says, if you will follow Me, I will make you fishers of people. Did y'all see those promises there? Teresa, did you see those promises there? I hope y'all got that. If you didn't, I'm getting ready to give it to you. Did you see, church? Jesus didn't. Did you catch what He just promised? Jesus just promised that if we as Christians would just be willing to follow Him, He will make us fishers of men, soul winners, gospel spreaders, light of the world. If we'll follow him. You see, all we have to do is tell Jesus what he desires to hear us to say. Lord, I will follow you. And listen, he will do the rest of the work. I like that. Keith, that's easy. All he wants us to do is what we ought to be willing to do anyway. Get on our knees and say, Lord, I'll follow you. I will follow you. How many of y'all heard that song? I'll follow you. That's what he wants to hear. Do you understand, church, that Jesus did not die on the cross? He was not spit on and beaten. He was not nailed on the tree that we might be comfortable complaining Christians. Let me say that again. Do you understand that Jesus did not die on the cross? He was not spit on and beaten. He was not nailed to a tree that we might be comfortable complaining Christians. Jesus died so that we may be free of sin's debt and transformed into dangerous, fearless spreaders of the gospel. Listen, we'll be hated. We'll be persecuted. Persecution will come. But church, if he was willing to face trials for us, we should be more than willing to face them for him. But we're not. We ought to be, but we're not. Brother Kyle, when is the time? You know, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I'll admit to you, you know, there's been a pretty stern gap between the time I accepted him and I know I ought to be following him. When do I follow him? When should I follow him? Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Did that say 2 weeks later? Jesus was walking down. He was walking down. Those boys were fishing. And Jesus said, hey, look, hey, come follow me in 2 weeks. Hey, listen, I want you this time next year to come follow me. In 5 years, come and follow me. Gary, he said immediately. They dropped their nets and they followed him. Immediately. Right now is the time to follow Jesus. There's no better time, nor will there ever be a better time to follow him. Church, when we sit and wait and count the cost, we will talk ourselves out of doing what we know is the right thing to do. Every single time. I've done it. I knew God was calling me into full-time ministry, and this is what I did. This is what I did, Lisa. This is so spiritual. I had this 1,125 square foot house. It's a 3-bedroom. It was tiny, but we loved it. It was our first little house, and we'd had it for about 10 years, and I made a deal with Jesus. I made a bargain. This was a bargain basement deal. Gary, I told Jesus, I said, Jesus, if you'll sell my house, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. That's spiritual, isn't it, Mark? You know what Jesus told me? He said, no. You'll go, and then I'll take care of the house. And I said, no, God. I want you to sell the house first, then I'll go wherever you want me to go. And you know what Jesus said? No. Go. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, he just couldn't do it. Oh, yeah, he could do it. I've seen him do it time and time and time and time again with other preachers. It never fails. The preacher, you know, he'll leave one church, and like 2 weeks later, you know, the house will sell. It's never worked for me. Now, Bob, I still have a house in Greer, South Carolina. Anybody moving up there, just let me know. I'll give you a good price on a house. It's never worked for me. Do you know why? I really, truly believe God says, I want you to see how faithful I am to you. I want you to go and do what I told you to do, and then I promise you I'll take care of you. Well, knock on the door. Yeah, two friends from our church come in and say, listen, we really believe God wants us to rent your house from you. What? Not even on the radar. We weren't even talking about renting. We were selling this dude. We were getting it out. God wants us to rent your house. That's pretty good, isn't it, Ricky? The day we were packing up, 2 days later, they moved in. Now, we had to fix a lot of stuff they messed up, but hey, it was a God thing. We were in this house in Greer, and I had the same thing. God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll go when you want me to go. I promise you I'll go. Got to sell this house behind us. And I even did this time. I said, you know, you did it for Dr. White. And I started naming preachers off. You know, you did it for them. You can do it for me. I know you can do it for me, God. You know what he said? No. Again, no. Move. I put two signs in my front yard, for sale, for lease. I mean, I was rolling the dice now, baby. You know what I'm saying? For sale, for lease. Knew that, you know, the price we threw on that thing, Courtney, hey, somebody's going to buy this thing. We'd like to rent your house. Okay, come on in. They still have a house. And this is what kills me. I know that's what God wanted me to do, and it was the right thing to do. But went up there to do some maintenance on the house, Mr. White, and one of the neighbors came up and said, are your renters still? Yeah, the renters are still there. They're good people. He said, you know, my sister was going to buy that house if they wouldn't have rented. I was like, why? Church, God wants us to have faith. All he wants us to do is follow him. Well, you might be thinking, well, why wouldn't God follow? Why wouldn't God sell that? Lee, you might be asking, why wouldn't God? That's easy for God. Why wouldn't God do that? Listen to me. I am a preacher married to a school teacher with three older children. They've wiped us out. Do you hear me? Some preachers have money to put 401k, and I'm setting back, but not nearly as much as I can. God knew this. God knew all of this was taking place. He said, boy, just go. I'll take care of you. For almost 10 years now, listen, we've built equity in that house for almost 10 years now, and I'm paying $20 a month for it. That's pretty good, isn't it? My interest rate is 2.37%. That's God. Brother, hold on a second, brother. That's not possible. Yeah, it is, because I had an adjustable loan when y'all had those good fixed rate loans, and when the Fed dropped, my adjustable dropped right with it. So I'm under the fixed rate. I'm not smart enough to do stuff like that, y'all. I'm not. Ask Angie. I ask her questions all the time. I'm not smart enough to do that. God said, go, follow me. Follow me. And he's always taking care of us. Always taking care of us. When's the right time? Right now. Church, when we sit and wait and count the cost, we'll talk ourselves out of doing what we know is the right thing to do. I heard a story this past week. A man was telling me that God, he knew God was talking to him about speaking to somebody about him. In other words, he was supposed to go up and start talking to somebody. Jesus told him, I want you to go talk to Jethro over there. Tell him about me. And he didn't. God opened the door of opportunity for him when they were around each other, and he didn't talk to Jethro. Wonder if Jethro was going to die this week. You see, God opens the door of opportunity for you to do what he tells you to do right then. And if you don't do what God tells you to do right then, I promise you, listen to me, there are going to be repercussions in your life, and there's probably going to be repercussions in other people's life because you're not doing what God tells you to do. And listen, it's not that hard. Please tell me, please somebody stand up and testify and tell me this morning what's hard about what I've told you this morning. Jesus said, follow me. You've been doing stuff like that since kindergarten. Follow me. Follow me. There are only three reasons you'll not follow Jesus after you accept Him as your personal Savior. After you accept His salvation. There's only three reasons. Number one, you think Jesus is lying to you. He won't take care of me. He won't protect me. He won't do everything that He won't be the line leader and I'll fall off in a hole. There's never been a time that Jesus has failed me. I failed myself and I failed Jesus, but Jesus has never failed me. When I've allowed Him to be the line leader and I've followed Him, Steve, there's never been a time where He's led me astray. Never. Never, 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 ever. Never. So number one, you think Jesus is lying to you. Number two, you don't trust yourself. And this is common. You think that you'll mess it all up. Man, if I follow Jesus, I'll blow it. You will. You will. I promise you'll blow it. Tony, won't they? They'll blow it. They'll mess up. You'll say things sometimes that you can't get back, and you'll do things that you'll blow it. But Jesus will restore you. And He'll put you back on the path and He'll say, follow me. Follow me. The third reason. Now, you think Jesus is lying. You don't trust yourself. And this is the third reason. You're scared to be uncomfortable. I'm scared to be uncomfortable. I would rather be a little uncomfortable here on this earth in front of people just like me than to stand before Jesus one day soon and have to answer when He asked me, why were you not willing to follow me when I called you? Well, He hasn't called me. Oh, if you're a Christian, He's called you to follow Him. Every single one of you, follow me. Question that's going to linger during invitation is this. Will you follow Jesus today and let Him make you fishers of men? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we thank You for this message. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we pray that You open our eyes right now. Holy Spirit, deal with our hearts. Move this morning. Lord, if there's one here who's never accepted You as their personal Savior, the first step is to accept You. And that invitation's always open here, Lord. Let them not wait any longer. But God, those who are here this morning who have accepted You, and Lord, there's nothing changed. They haven't had a change in their life in 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. God, if there's never been a change, they've never started the trip to following You, God, I pray that You would burden their hearts right now. Bring them to their knees, God, not because of their sinful nature, God, but because You love them. Bring them to Yourself. Let them feel Your presence this morning. That they'll start this unbelievable journey of following You. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar's open.